Anybody want to start? Want me to start?
Let's have. I know Frank's been working on some stuff. I was curious to hear what he had to say, but Chuck, I always want to hear from you too.
Oh yeah. Well, it's just where I see us sitting today is we've done our 2010 this year's budget and turned it over to Frank to work out specifically, mostly the salary cuts, and I'm interested to hear what he's got to say. Mm-hmm.
If I could start off with a prepared statement, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Gentlemen, it's obvious that we are in a serious predicament. Fingers could be pointed in many directions. This situation, I feel, was started many years ago. One question I have is, why has the independent auditor not caught this or warned us about this? My budget has been cut drastically. The position that I have been put in is a very difficult one to be in. However, I have weathered many storms like this in my career. Adjustments must be made, and typically they are not easy nor comfortable. The following is a list of recommendations which could help us to achieve our goals. I also feel that based on conversations with supervisors, this is the appropriate time to reduce workforce. The numbers need to be looked at in that reduction, and I also feel that these reductions should be made based on employees' performance, not necessarily seniority or other categories. Gentlemen, I'm here to serve you and the citizens of Taney County. I'm dedicated to my job here as well as any other job I've had 100%, 110%, 100% of the time. My interests are to give you, the commissioners, and the citizens of Taney County the most ethical, educated, and experience-based performance that I possibly can. I have a list of some recommendations that I'd like you to go over. I also have studied the dilemma of state, county, and city governments being in the same situation that we're in currently, and it's a trend that's ongoing throughout the United States. City of Springfield, 6 or 7 o'clock news this morning, stated that the city administrator is looking for an additional $1.6 million in cuts that could be controversial as they move forward with the cuts. And that's all based on lack of revenue that is not coming in. So I'll pass out this list of things that I've worked on. And if we could, before we get to the bottom line, I'd like to go over them line item by line item. Item number one, rock and chips line item, then it gives the budget number, was currently at the modified number for the accepted budget or the approved budget was $600,000. A recommendation is to remove another $100,000 off of that. Most of last year's expenditure in this category is sitting in a stockpile on the Hilda side. What the West side still needs to purchase these types of materials, and it's not common for them to travel to the Hilda rock pile to get these types of materials. They typically purchase them at various aggregate plants throughout the Branson area. The rentals line item 250 dash several different numbers was reduced to $40,000. I make a recommendation we reduce this an additional $20,000 in savings. I make that recommendation based on the fact that most of these rentals were for specialized equipment that we did not have in our inventory to do some of the so-called capital improvement projects that happen throughout the county. We have the ability, with two large workforces, one on the east, one on the west, and the inventory of material that they have currently in stock, that if one side needs a particular piece of equipment, there's a good chance that the other side has it, and it could be made available to them based on the immediate need and or scheduled if needed to do so. Number three is the F Highway Yard. in my 2+ years here, I've seen this yard used on a minimal basis. From our operations standpoint, we have a sign man that is the only one of our personnel that works out of there, and we also use it as a material storage yard, but that's also used in a minimal way. My recommendation is to look at the feasibility and possibility of selling this property, and that would put more money in the county coffers. If it would or would not sell, that's something that I could not tell you at this time. Number four is the mechanics work at what's commonly termed as the flats. These are the mechanics that spend most of their time servicing the sheriff's vehicles. It's my understanding, and it's been confirmed, that Mr. Landry's salary, 100% of his salary, comes out of Road and Bridge. And I was wondering if we could look at their records, of which they keep very well, the amount of time that he actually performs maintenance duties on Road and Bridge equipment, which it, in my estimation, is minimal. Another concern I have with that operation out there, excuse me, is that it appears that all of the improvements and or needs in regards to the building, its electricity and or its state of repair. One particular example, this most recent purchase of $5,000, that's my estimation for this heating unit, comes out of Road and Bridge money. So this is something that I'd like to be able to look at into further. Recommendation number five, retire or offer early retirement for several employees. At this point in time, that's an unknown dollar amount in savings. Number six, no overtime. Based on my studies, this is happening in many other government-type agencies. There's several different ways to accommodate that, such as in this week where we're having inclement weather and having to work 12-hour shifts for a day and a half, 2 days in a row, send people home when they've reached 40 hours or attempt to do this. Mother Nature will have some impact on this program of no overtime not being successful all of the time. It's my understanding that Mr. Russell has a similar program in that he requests that his employees go home versus accumulating overtime. And I believe it has something to do with comp time. They have a maximum of a certain hours, and then at that point in time, they're sent home. Work furloughs is something, excuse me, that I studied extensively. I've had some experience myself with it. Work furloughs are basically days off without pay. If we want to use the $300,000 figure that we're looking at, it's equivalent to 15 days of 10-hour days at the equivalency of $18,791 per day. What that means is we'd need to take off 15 days throughout the year of 10-hour days to accomplish our $300,000 goal. Similar scenario, but based on an 8-hour day, $15,686 per day, we would need to take off 19 days to accommodate our $300,000 salary goal. There are many variations of furlough programs. However, my studies have shown that furloughs reduce the salary line items. However, studies also show that it's a temporary fix. Number eight is a common practice in private industry, and that is sending construction-type people home on rainy days. In the construction world or private industry, those days are usually without pay. In government industry, when this type of policy is taken into effect, the employees have the ability to use comp, vacation, and ultimately no pay. One other positive benefit of this recommendation is that large amounts of fuel are saved. Item number nine, GIS mapping. We talked about a little bit during the budget discussions. It was a $20,000 figure. In talking with Patsy in our IS department, that number could be reduced to $2,000. reducing that $20,000 by 18, we still need to leave $2,000 in there. It's my understanding that in previous two budget cycles ago, I believe, there was close to a $20,000 expenditure, and that was for the flyover, and that the, in her estimation, their services and or upkeep that they provide to us would be right below $2,000 for this year. Number 10, discontinue the boot allowance, create a saving of approximately $8,000. This is a benefit to the employees. There are many places of employment, including government employees, that do not provide a boot allowance. I know we're working on cell phones and reimbursements. I would, again, recommend that we take a closer look at that. Most of our vehicles have 500 to $750 radios in them. Excuse me, that's $500 to $750 radios in them that work very well through about 85 or 90% of the county. So I think that's an area that we could look at. And again, at this point in time, I am unsure of the potential for savings. Minimizing or eliminating the vehicle take-home program, unknown dollar amount at this point in time. Given further time, I would be able to establish that an estimated number on that. That would include people like myself and most supervisors that currently take those vehicles home. There is one particular employee, Randy Hayes, that I believe it serves him highly due to the fact that he has appointments with people to do certain parts of his job on a pretty regular basis, and those appointments are, excuse me, are typically done after work hours as late as 8 p.m. in the evening and as early as 6:30 and 7 in the morning. Since I've been here, he's done that with a regular frequency. The next item, number 13, cold mix, hot mix line item, was cut to $750,000. I believe another $100,000 can be taken out of this number. Cold mix should be produced in Branson area this summer. It was not produced in the Branson area at all this past summer. Many of our dollars spent on cold mix this year were for transportation of the product to Taney County. Also, in looking at this item, if the east side could use hot mix versus cold mix, there could be an additional savings of $20 to $30 per ton, as cold mix has an oil that has the propensity to keep the mix softer, such as a slow cure oil in it, so that they could work with it and do things like grater blankets. Something that a grater, the reason you use cold mix and not hot mix is that you would spread a bunch of material on the road, several hundred feet worth possibly, and your intent is to make a bad spot smooth in that lane. With cold mix, you have the ability to go back and forth with a grater and achieve your desired depth and or smoothness. With hot mix, you cannot use that same procedure in with a grater in moving it back and forth, because you're cooling off the material, and the properties of hot mix are such that it needs to be rolled by a specific temperature, otherwise it will not perform nor stay on the ground. So a possible scenario is that the paving machine that we're currently using extensively on the west side could be pulled over to the east side to do some of these greater blanket type jobs that we do for road maintenance, but in using hot mix, the weather would need to be such that we met all the parameters of the weather requirements for that particular process. The 14th suggestion is, or recommendation is, creating incentive programs that will reward employees for their suggestions that save the county money. I've also been involved with these types of programs before, and it's amazing how many different things can come up to save the county money when there's an incentive program to do so for the employees. At the bottom of the page, you'll see my calculations of an additional $246,000, which were difficult and hard to do based on the previous cuts that had been done before, but I feel we could be successful and still operate based on these recommendations. That's all I have at this point in time.
Questions, Frank?
Yeah, I do. Frank, some of this eliminates a total capital improvement road or whatever, the reduction in the rock and the chip and seal, and I know there was some conversation before about using some creek gravel type stuff to help in the building of, because you can only use a limited amount of that. You have to have some 0 to 6 or something to tighten it in and
right.
with the dirt and stuff like that. I would not like us to go to the point where there was no possibility of something that might be a major, I don't know what you would say, improvement or emergency improvement or something like that, to where we had to, we could see the need and couldn't do it because of limitations on the budget. To this point, you know what I'm saying.
I believe I understand what you're saying. It's not uncommon for road departments to be in what's called a maintenance mode only, and that is to take care of what you currently have existing on the ground. I feel these numbers still allow us to work on safety issues such as blind corners or road widenings, but to build a new road or anything that would be termed as a capital improvement, this budget, not only with my cuts, but with the previous budget that's been adopted this year, that type of scenario of having capital improvements is not likely to happen because of the numbers.
Right. Extensive dig outs is one thing that we've run into in the past, where it takes a year or two for a project to show signs of maintenance or dig out problems, especially with a overlay. Overlays are that shows up in chip and seal at a rather quick, probably that year or the next year, but on overlays where we do overlay dig outs or cut and saw and replace, those things are something that I'm sure you've taken into account here with this, but I just wanted to make sure that we let the general public know that we're going to take care of that type of safety situation if we have to. So,
Frank, how much comp time is on the books, and how many dollars are we talking about? I know you can't calculate until they take it because it's based on their salary at time and a half. I think it's important to know that financial obligation that Road and Bridge has, and won't this interfere with taking furloughs? I mean, for instance, you give somebody a furlough to save money, and they just, at time and a half, use their comp time, and you're not saving any money with the furlough.
Right. No, a furlough would have to be strictly be termed or stated in a way, in such a manner that this furlough would be time off without pay, regardless of what's on the books.
You can't do it because the comp time is you either pay them overtime or you give them comp time and they get to use it when they want.
Right.
As long as they arrange it with their supervisor. And if you're furloughing them anyway, it would be hard to deny them the comp time.
I understand that comment, but the studies that I did this past week, furloughs are typically days off without pay.
However, comp time is owed to them.
Absolutely.
So we can't say you can't use comp time. It's not.
I think it's going to be a combination of several of these things that will get us to our goal.
Here's my question or comment. We have cut material equipment purchase. Mm-hmm. We are going to be doing less than this in 2009. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And right now, we're going to keep the same headcount, and we're going to be physically doing less. What will these gentlemen do? We've reduced ship and seal program. We're reducing other things here. What are they going to do, Frank?
Well, also, in previous discussions, we talked about the options we talked about in executive session.
He said in his opening that he thought that now was the time to make cuts in personnel.
Well, the budget that's been approved has salaries cut. Is it 300 or 350?
350.
350 is what I thought. he can't, unless he takes it out. This is what I thought I heard the commission tell him, was that this is your budget. You've got to work with it. Mm-hmm. And in that budget, salaries are cut $350,000. Mm-hmm. So he's got to, I thought I heard y'all say that he's got to cut the rest of his budget or cut people or a
combination,
or a combination thereof is what you've told him, right?
We made those comments, absolutely. Okay.
How long can the cuts be maintained at this level, the non-salary cuts? I mean, obviously you're going to have to maintain roads. Are you going to be able to maintain those cuts next year and the year after?
In thinking about the future in those terms, any deferred maintenance that we do actually ends up costing more money in the long run. So I would hope and anticipate that we would be able to get back to previous levels of service and or maintenance of roads as soon as possible.
Which means you would add this money into the budget in 2011.
If possible.
And the cuts, if they're required, would have to be made somewhere else.
Yeah, I want to make sure, from my one commissioner who's going to be here for three more budget cycles, we can't go back the way we were. There is no going back. Right. There's no way we will be able to fund you $2.5 million more back into your budget next year, the year following, or the year following. It doesn't pencil out. We have to operate within our means, and we are not. So deferring is one thing, but with the hope of it coming back, next 3 years I won't be saying, let's put $2.5 million back in road and bridge. It's just not going to happen. So I want to make sure, you know, where I'm coming from is that these cuts need to be permanent. We have to operate either more efficiently or do more with less, because we have to operate within the means, and we aren't.
Right.
So I understand it's going to cost us more, but we're just, from my perspective, we can't go back.
Jim, and I respectfully listen to you on what you're saying, but I see this as a correction. I see this as a possibility that basically the economy is going to represent what we do. Mm-hmm. And if more monies come in for revenue sources for the county through the road and bridge tax, then I don't think that we can make that assumption. I see a correction that has to be made this year, where we would, as I made mention before, and I don't like the numbers, I mean to make mention of numbers, because we're looking at other avenues, but the fact that we would possibly have to lay off, and this is strictly an example, 10 people this year, if we don't make the correction, we might have to lay off 30 or 40 people next year because of not making a correction this year. That is exactly the only reason that I'm considering what we have asked Frank to do, our own personal opinions, our thoughts. We have a situation where there has to be a correction made, and once that correction's made, then the other things, hopefully, with revenue streams being hopefully not another 5%, but Who knows? It might be that or more, or, but you have a correction, and then at that point, every year the budget is a process. We've seen by going into 2011 with your paperwork and your figures there that the possibility of massive cuts were overwhelming. And I would like to correct the problem and concentrate on this budget this year, and then we would think about what we had to do for the next.
The reason I made that comment, it sounded like he was going to ask, you were going to ask for more money next year to rectify the problem. Maybe I misunderstood, but it sounded like you were going to need a bigger number next year, because whatever we do needs to be permanent.
Right. I would hope to operate under the similar scenario budget that we have this year.
Okay. Okay. Then maybe I misunderstood. Okay.
Right. As uncomfortable as it is for me to say, and as much as I dislike saying this, I feel that a reduction in number of workforce is a critical factor in making all this happen, based on workload and some of the other things we discussed earlier this morning.
The on your first page of recommendations, it showed that the rock and ship line item, are you comfortable with that?
I talked to both supervisors from that portion of the county, the east side, and the material that's on the ground is something that we have owed and paid for. We have paid for and we own. I asked them some explicit questions in their ability to do various things that we do with that material throughout the year. I told them that today I would respond with their responses, and based on their conversation with me is the reason I made that recommendation.
So our expensive, this is how I'm throwing this out, I'm not sure I know all that you do with the material, but will our fuel, will we have to drive more?
No.
With the material? I mean, no. Our other expenses aren't going to go up because of this.
No. West Side gets their material from...
Right. From their place located. Right. They still need to purchase, but you're saying the East Side has got a stockpile.
Yes.
Some. I mean, not all of
them. Yes.
Now, we have to take into account, Jim, that whenever we do the East Side, the reason the stockpile is here in the first place is because... 2 to 3 years ago, we had to pay Jernigan so much money to move in on site to crush a certain dollar amount of rocks before they would come on location. And there was, we met with the lead people at Jernigan. Mm-hmm. We talked to them, and basically without that East Quarry to do projects in the eastern part of the county, whether it be a maintenance project or whatever, without that East Side Quarry. And so that is the reason that we have a $600,000 surplus over there. So my question is, relates back to what you said before, is we'll have to pay a certain amount next year to get them to move back in on site and crush.
Right. I mean, can we operate with $500,000 in that line on them next year?
That's my question. That's the reason I don't like the reduction in it, because
the stockpile costs us money to put there.
Right. Next year, if you cut that amount, you have to replace it. It's a matter of supply and demand. So. I'm going through that process and meeting with Jernigan folks and seeing how hard and difficult it was to get them to get their equipment on site. Without some hard work from Eugene and Harlan out there, that process would have never happened. And they knew they had personal relationships with these guys for years by working with them. So they, that's one of the things that maybe I might.
Well, look at line 13, Frank. Cold mix, hot mix. You're saying because of the production that maybe in Branson this summer, we're basically going to be able to get the same what we've budgeted currently because it's going to be produced locally?
Yes, due to...
So you're comfortable cutting that out of there, you're saying?
I'm not comfortable doing any of these things, honestly.
Okay.
We're going in a place we haven't been before. And in doing so, you have to do things differently than we've done in the past. I've been asked to make these cuts. I've looked at this budget over and over, and this is what I've come up with.
Right. And I totally understand, and I hope you understand that whenever I make the statement like I made about the chips, that it's not that because you had no part to play in that part of it, we have to do things that was before you got here that we had them move in and do this, and I'm just trying to refresh our memories and our decision-making process that in itself is a supply and demand situation, that if we make that reduction this year, it still has to be met next year, so I don't see the cutting of the $100,000 worth of that material.
We will have a materials need next year.
Yes, and you may have that need of that extra $100,000 this year to even maintain the workforce that we have. After, you know, I'm just trying to make that plain. This is a situation where we have to negotiate with private contractors to make this crushing happen. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have the need or availability like we had before to do a massive amount, they won't move back in that location. So that's something that that has to be taken into consideration on that. And I think you've done a extensive, I mean, I can see that you've spent lots of hours going through this process. This is after we've made every cut that we thought we could make, you know. I appreciate the fact that you've got 14 suggestions. Now it's left up to us to make a decision on where we want to go with that. The F. Barn deal has been a matter of discussion for some time. I think the sewer department uses that barn for.
Doesn't sheriff use it too?
Some of their stuff. So, and the difficulty of selling a piece of property that it has already been used for road construction purposes or.
That all it would do is help put capital back in the budget, but our month-to-months wouldn't change. Operational wouldn't change. So unless by selling it we could reduce our insurance liability or something like that,
yeah.
I mean, I think because of the environmental concerns that we may have of that usage is, and it's not a time to sell property. It's not a buyer's, it's a buyer's market, not a seller's market. So.
Do you gentlemen want to just take and start line by line and go down through and just like that one, I would mark that one off because I don't think that it has relevance.
But there's a lot of this that, I mean, my concern with this, the boot allowance, I mean, we have safety, there's a safety issue that we're putting these, we have to provide safety equipment. And one could argue that boots, one pair of boots, isn't it one pair a year is all we're allowing?
$100 per year per employee.
Right. But isn't that part of the safety equipment that they're required to have because of the type of work they have? And that was my question.
Some of it is, and some of it is, it's been a real, it's been too flexible in the past. There have been people buying work boots that...
It's $100 a year per person, so... I know that, you know... I mean, that's not very much savings, but I'd have to look and see what our responsibilities are as employer to provide safety equipment to employees.
We didn't start supplying it until probably 6-7 years ago at the most.
Really?
Well, I said at the most.
Were they doing that, Chuck, when you first came, or you know?
I remember when they did it. It was during my time as county. It's been since 2001. I don't remember when it was done.
Did you do it?
I didn't do it.
Okay.
I think that the reduction in cell phones and reimbursements is something that this commission has discussed before, with the radios that are available.
And I don't have it broke down by road and bridge. I have that list up the stairs with a different Verizon conversation we've had, but I mean, there may be $1,000 a month there. I mean, it's a little bit, but that doesn't get us to where we need to get.
Now, there's something that I don't understand, and Frank, maybe you're not the person that we need to be asking, because you said you talked to Patsy. These flyovers are used by each department,
yes,
and they're billed out.
And everyone pays it.
And everyone has paid an equal amount, and you're thinking that maybe somebody doesn't have to, that Road and Bridge wouldn't have to pay their amount because they're not getting that much usage out of it, or I don't understand all that.
To the best of my understanding, the flyovers are not done on an annual basis.
Correct.
They're done on an intermittent basis, and that's probably no one's planning to do one this year, I would guess. Gary usually coordinates that with other people, because they can share the cost a little bit.
Well, we budgeted $20,000 for the assessor and $20,000 for Road and Bridge and $20,000 for.
And so he may
this
be
is. I think this was the year they were planning to do the flyover was 2010. I believe.
You know, James, I don't know.
It was to catch up with the Emory Creeks. All
yep.
The big.
We had scheduled a flyover.
Majestics and all the additions that we have now hit the low on.
Right.
We would like to be able to see those instead of looking at paper plans.
Right. I think they were planning to do the flyover for this in 2010. But
well, that's where I'm going. I don't know that the separation of the dollars is, if it's not been done,
right,
maybe correctly in the past, maybe the billing needs to be looked at different. But I don't know that that's a conversation we should have with Gary and the IS department.
I did have that conversation with Patsy yesterday, and her understanding of the flyover was that it wouldn't be happening this year, and that we could reduce it by that number. That's why I came up with that.
Then we'll take that, because that's not, unfortunately, that wasn't our understanding, because Gary stood here and said that he was doing a flyover. So we'll take that one. I'll take that one.
With the amount of equipment that we got, I can see that, and I don't remember, Frank, what we've talked about on rentals. You went over that pretty thorough there, but I don't remember, and we cut that $40,000.
From 120, wasn't it? From 100?
I don't have the old numbers with me today.
Now, so is that something that you think that is... I know before in years past, and maybe that's where we ended up with that figure on rentals, was like a track hole for a specific job. We had a big dozer at one time released for a while. So that in itself could be maybe something that we could look at if you think that it's not going to have any effect on the work.
Most of our equipment rental was for specialized projects.
Right. Now you're talking about. Now you're not talking about big. We've got our own screeners and everything for all the concrete work and stuff. We don't lease any of that or rent any of that stuff. When we used to, I think, when I first got here,
for concrete work, we don't rent anything.
But we've since purchased that, and so that's not there. So I think we could feel comfortable with maybe that $20,000 deduction.
Okay. I know we cut maintenance, and so my thought was we may have to rent more because we may have some equipment parts. Because I think we did cut some maintenance in our budget. I'm going off memory, obviously. I've slept since then. So
we cut everything.
Well, I know we hit everything. That's my thing is.
We have $100,000 in equipment purchase or machinery that I looked at for a long time. The only thing that was outstanding right now that's currently in the process is a thumb for hydraulic thumb for one of our excavators. Other than that, there's nothing that we're looking at in purchasing. I was hoping to leave that number in there sort of as a contingency for possible overruns in equipment maintenance and or equipment rental. But rental was really strongly done due to capital improvement projects.
Yeah. So it's your recommendation that we, what, you've got it down here, reduce the rentals by $20,000?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Our, you guys...
I mean, I wrote that one down as that we're in agreement on that, but...
Yeah. I just...
I've got some thoughts. Can I throw them out on the table? I'll ask a question. Does the commission have a number as far as a balance that we don't want to get under? What's our goal? We've talked many times about $4 million as being the lowest we want our balance to go. Do we have a number like that? We don't have. Should we have a number like that? Another question I have is, does Frank... Okay, we've got our 2010 budget set, and there is a bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Is Frank free to work with that budget at that number? And let me go farther before I give you a chance to answer that. We came in this last month, and we had a budget set that Frank and Rick had worked on mostly. And it was determined, I think, safe to say, a week ago that it was too much, that we needed to whittle it down. And we commenced to do that. We whittled Monday drastically, or pretty hard, and then we came back Tuesday and we whittled again. And as I thought about this, just this morning actually, Frank was pretty much a bystander. The fact is, Jim and Chuck, for the most part, Danny had comments, but we went after pretty stinking, cut it. That's just what we did. And we ended up with a number on Tuesday. Then, to my dislike, we cut the salary, $350,000. Then, what I heard was, this is Frank's problem. I mean, this is what I heard, and that's what's in paper, on paper, is a budget of so many dollars for the road and bridge to live with. We set our budget, the county commission is responsible for that, and that's what we're going to have to work on. And I heard it say to Frank, there it is. If you want to do what he's done, work with numbers, to not take $350,000 out of salaries and takes more out of other areas, it's your baby, fix it. And so he's gone through this work, and I agree, Danny, I think he's worked hard at it and done a good job, but it's not an easy thing, as we've said over and over. Are we, the county commission, at this point, the budget set, are we going to continue like we did Monday and Tuesday? From my perspective, take his responsibilities away of how he breaks his budget down line by line. Are we going to keep our hands in it? Are we going to do some of both? What I've seen is we're doing some of both currently. And we're sitting here, and Frank's got it, about $100,000 that he can, $246,000 that if he wants to, or we want him to, he could put over in the salary line, so to speak. Again, what I'm seeing is that we're trying to do both. Is it Frank's responsibility? Do we give him a bottom line to work with? I don't think we're very targeted. We're very focused on how we're going about this. So, one question is there a reserve that we want to shoot for? I mean, we need to plan long term, as has been said over and over again. Do we want to set 4 million? Do we want to set 5 million? 3 million? Do we want to have something so that we got a target that we watch? Because we've watched the 4 million has been our target. We haven't talked about it much, but it's been on the table numerous times. And we don't want to go over that. Do we want to live with that target?
Can I just make one reply to what you said? I think this is, and I think that Frank has felt the pressure. I've seen the look on his face and the work that he's done in this last week with everything that's happened as far as the weather and everything. But I think there's some things here that we have tried to help to talk about. Whenever I brought up the creek gravel that had to be removed from the bridges before we lose a bridge that could be used. When I bring up the fact that I talked to Eugene and them about this chips and rock in the yard at the Hilda barn, those are things that we try ourselves to help Frank with and to come up with these recommendations, because at that time there was some questions about whether we owned that or whether it crossed the scales before we owned it.
Right.
So those, to answer part of your question, I think we've been, this is a session of where we've been trying to help in this process other than trying to be a hindrance, and that's the reason I brought up to Frank, and you know, we've all lost sleep and should over this matter.
I agree with you, Danny. We've all worked. We've all, and I think the crews, everybody's worked. How do we work this down? I agree. We've all worked. But I'd like us to focus. I wish we would focus on a couple of questions, and that is, what kind of reserve do we want to maintain? Not just this year. This year's already set anyway. But what do we want 2011? We talked about a 2011 budget. What do we want the bottom line of their 2011 budget to be? Do we want to maintain that kind of, what kind of reserve do we want? I wish we would answer that question. Another way of saying it, what I've already said, is how are we going to do business? Are we going to, Frank, here it is. And that's what I heard, whatever day it was, lost track of my days, that here it is, here's your budget, make it work. And he's brought us back suggestions, and I understand why he brought us back suggestions, because we've been right in the middle of it. Everybody's trying to do something good. But we don't have a decision. Somebody's going to have to make a decision, and I think we need to make that decision. Is it Frank's decision to lay off everybody or nobody or what number? The rock and chips you brought up a minute ago. I mean, all these things. Are we going to stay involved in the line by line decisions, or are we going to say, Frank, here's what you got to work with. How are you going to do it? Not to be mean to Frank, but he hadn't said, and I understand why he hadn't said, because we've been right in the middle of it with him. But what I thought we said the other day was, there's our budget, how are you going to do it? If you want to jockey it around, you can. That's what I heard said. But we're just talking suggestions, and who's going to take the responsibility, I guess. Again, how are we going to do business?
So let me throw a couple comments out to answer one or two of your questions. The reason we have a balance in our trust accounts is because the previous commissioners ran tighter budgets. So my first goal is not an amount. My first goal is to stop the negative spending. Okay? That's first and foremost.
Okay.
So we are spending approximately $650,000 to $700,000 more than we're taking in 2010. We're still, even with all these cuts, we're still going to dip into the trust fund approximately $700,000. So my first and foremost goal would be to operate within the means of our sales tax revenues, which we are not doing. The second goal would be to actually start putting money back into the trust fund so that we can actually do a major capital improvement project. So a short-term goal, which is probably going to take 5 years, is actually by 2015, to actually put $100,000 back into the trust fund. Because I don't even see us trending that way right now. Add $100,000 every year by 2015. Okay, that's what I would think is the only reason we're able to do what we're doing is because the previous commissioners put such a tight constraint on budgets and they operate within. I mean, you know, your dad Danny, they put $500,000 back some years into the trust fund, and if they wouldn't have done that, we would be laying off half the workforce in the road and bridge. So those are two of my goals, is to stop the bleeding, to operate within the funds that we are bringing in, which we are still not doing. The second thing is actually start putting money back into that fund so that we can actually do a major capital improvement project. So to address, that's two things. To answer, to address the what do I see doing going forward with the budget, my concern, and I say this, and I know this may be misinterpreted, but if we're actually going to cut salaries, it is best to do them now versus wait 10 months and do them then. Because then it's deeper cuts. Because to get to that $350,000, it's not 5 people or 10 people in January, it's 15 people in June. Because we still have to add up to that dollar figure. So I would like to see how Frank is going to get there, but keeping in mind, a good manager manages workforce and work, okay? And if we're cutting work, do we need the workforce to do nothing? Because I've heard arguments from citizens saying, how many people does it take to change a culvert out? And I saw 9 people at this job. And we've had similar conversations. So if we had the material and the jobs and all the things supporting the work in 2009, and we had extra people, and we cut that dollar figure of all those materials, if we don't look at headcount, I think we're going to have more complaints about what are these people doing, because they can't, you know, we've cut fuel sales, they can't drive around the county, we've cut rentals, we've cut maintenance on equipment, so equipment can't break down as much, they have less chipping and sealing, so we have a lot less of everything. So without addressing that, my concern is that we don't at least hear some definites from Frank. We'll be here in May saying we have to take that responsibility away from you, and we're going to have to make the cuts. So my concern is we do it quick, and at least, or we have exactly what we're doing. And that's my concern, is if it doesn't happen, then the commission's going to have to step in and do it. I'd like Frank to do it.
Jim, we've made the cuts. We've got a 2010 budget. There is a bottom line already. We've already done it. It's history. It's got to be worked out. How's it going to be worked out?
Well, I need to know how he's going to cut $350,000 then.
Because otherwise,
in November, we're laying off a bunch of people.
Humor me here. I keep going back to the fact that the other day we said, here's your budget. There's $350,000 of salary cuts. If you don't want to cut your salaries, take it out someplace else. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard said. But he hasn't given us that. He hasn't said, I think at this point, I'm going to cut these many jobs, and I'm not going to take that $350,000 cut totally. I'm going to take some of that out of someplace else. Mm-hmm. Again, I keep going back to the point that I think that we said, here's your budget. How are you going to do it? You're going to have to cut $350,000 worth of employees, or you're going to have to take it someplace else. But But I don't hear anybody today yet saying, this is what we're going to do. How, we got to come to resolution of how to live with the budget that's already been approved. I agree with both your points, by the way, of you can only negative spend so long, and we've talked about that many times. Rick's brought it up over and over, and we can't do it. And we've addressed it in a huge way, I think, this year already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you on putting money in. It'd be nice to set, and that's why I think that we should have a bottom line that we're going to keep. You know, you listen to the hot rod financial guy, and he teaches us as families to have an emergency fund, mm-hmm. and have another fund, I forget what he calls it, that you can live 6 months without a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Those are specific in amounts that those funds, that's what we need to have that money set aside. That ought to work for the county too. It should, it does.
One thing that I think we lost a little vision of with the $350,000 is the deficit spending that we did of the 5% that we just accepted and took it out of the reserve. So
I'm lost. What now, Danny? Explain that to me.
Okay. When Jim was explaining the budget and the figure that we're deficit that we were trying to reach was $850,000, and the 5% of that, well, basically for the $500,000 of that money was deficit spending anyway. So we had, as a commission, as we discussed these things, decided that we would pull that out of reserve, which can't keep happening.
Right.
And to pull that out of reserve leaves us no other option than to get rid of the $350,000 that we are talking about eliminating.
Right.
But we're still deficit spending $500,000.
Right.
Without the $350,000. So that's
and so
that's been kind of lost in the mix.
How did we come to that point? I mean, I remember the conversation, but how did we decide we're going to live with that deficit?
Because that's the sales tax revenue is down $500,000 to $600,000 from 07.
Okay.
So we think it'll come back.
We think it'll come back.
Okay, so the reason that we chose that number was we were hoping that money will come back.
That looks like it'll come back. Probably we'll see trending this summer, and probably by the end of the year we'll have back on a trend of where that, if he can operate within that, this number,
okay,
and the economy starts making a turnaround, we will be real close to break even or living within our means with the economy. We understand the economy's down. That's, I think everyone agrees to that. But
I think that got lost in this conversation
today.
That's
why we're negative spending.
I want you guys to understand, I feel like that you don't necessarily have to have a minimum balance as high as what we keep. We're going to carry forward $4 million, combination two.
Yeah.
I've got that at the bottom, 245. If you want to look at that, I showed you what happened in the years. And actually, Danny, I looked this morning. 2008 was the year we spent a lot. We really spent our fund balance down in 2008. But we need to look at operating expenses, and we need to know what those are, and we need to really be not spending. If we're going to have $100,000 or we're going to be putting some back, we need to be spending less in operating expenses than we have in revenues. Now, if we have a capital expenditure, we may actually dip into those things. But if our operating expenses, what it takes to operate, is less than our revenues, we're in good shape. And I think that's where we have that I hear the differences here. And I think Frank has addressed it some. I think Danny's addressed it. I think all of you looked at it some. The operating expenses is what we have to decrease. You know, if we don't decrease our operating expenses, we're going to continue to have that problem. It's going to get worse.
It's a commonly accepted principle that one-time expense is okay to take out of your reserves, but ongoing recurring expenses that are going to occur every year, they should not come out of your reserve. They should come out of your revenues, annual revenues.
Rick, have we not done that in this budget? Have we not cut our operating expenses in the 2010 budget?
From what?
From last year?
I would guess that you have. But it's hard for me to say because I don't know what the monies were spent on as far as when it comes out of rock and chip. I don't know whether it came out of a maintenance operating expense or whether it came out of a capital improvement expense. Does that make any sense to you?
No. Operating expenses, what comes to my mind is your budget. I mean, it's an operating expense.
Did I get you to change that? Operating expense is what you need to get the work done. And it doesn't really have a whole lot to do with the budget. You may use that to develop your budget, but it doesn't have a whole lot to do with it.
Okay, you say it's what we need to get the work done. Is that not labor and materials and all the things that are in the budget?
I guess what Rick, do you not spend labor and material on capital improvements? When we did Casey Road out here, there was labor and materials went into it.
So
that is not an operating expense.
All right, so operating expense is what you're saying now.
The roads you've got.
Is maintaining only what we've got to the condition that it is in
at whatever
point.
Yep.
And you understand.
Not improving any roads, not taking any more roads in. I understand what you're saying.
Might include required improvements,
but from what we've done, I mean, what our budget is today, that seems like that's a given. Order for us to work at the amount that we've cut from last year, I can't imagine that we, with those dollars, can do anything except maintain, hardly.
Well, let me ask you a question. We cut almost $1 million of his equipment purchases.
Right.
Is that required to maintain, or is that capital improvements? I mean, we cut $1 million out of his equipment line purchase. That would be the question.
That's maintenance. I mean,
new equipment purchases.
The new equipment is, in my thought, is required to do the job. I mean, to do the Rick's operating expenses, to maintain. Without equipment, you cannot maintain the road.
Well, without new equipment?
It doesn't matter whether it's maintaining it or new equipment or what it is. It's required. I mean, you have to keep up the equipment or buy new equipment or something.
Or rent it or something. There's lots of ways to skin a cat, but if you average over 5 years, what it's going to cost you to maintain those roads. Because if you skip on something this year, you might have to do it next year or the third year. In order to maintain those roads, what is it going to cost you over the next 5 years? That's average true. That out, and you add that to your salary line, or include the salary line in there, and does it exceed what you have coming in from the tax?
This is damn good discussion, I think, really. And we've talked about how much does it cost. Many times we've talked about how much does it cost for us to maintain our roads. If we knew that, then we'd have the operating expenses to your definition, well, Rick, and we'd know how much of that budget this year is to maintain and, you know, what's realistic to maintain what we got. And do we have any left over to improve or take other roads in or do other capital things?
You know, something that you guys need to consider, too, taking other roads in. And at this point, how much did you say we'd taken in the past year, Frank? I think you told me.
2 years, 11.2 miles. In the past 2 years, 11.2 miles at about $362,000 cost.
Is that a one-time cost or is that a...
That was the upgrade
cost.
That was the upgrade cost that which does not include the mowing and or snow removal typing.
Which is the operation, which is MoDOT uses 7,000 a mile, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So it costs us about $80,000. Let's just be real conservative. $80,000 more to his operational cost on those 11 miles we took in a year. For every year, rest of the life, we increased his budget by $80,000.
And that's what I want you guys to consider. That, probably to me, that's your biggest responsibility is to say, you know what, we need to look at this because we're not giving him a chance to meet that operational budget if you continue taking roads. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's your big responsibility right there. Your second responsibility is to oversee him. I agree with you, and I don't know what he wants. If it'd make it easy for you guys, if he said, "Hey, let me take care of it. I'll take care of it."
Maybe I just want to see. I want to see where. That's what I want to see. And I mean, granular to a point where if you're saying I'm going to cut $100,000 or $200,000 salaries, I want to know the people's names. I mean, that's what I want to see from you, to know that I won't have to mess with this budget.
Let me challenge you kindly. Why do we want to know the people's names? Do we not trust him to cut the right people? I mean, he works with them.
I don't know.
He has his crew chiefs.
I don't know.
If it was our office or Rick's office or somebody else's, we'd know.
If we're going to start talking about personnel, it might be good to go into executive session.
No, we're not talking names at all.
We're just talking about our Road and Bridge Administrator right now.
Whether he's responsible for...
Or whether you trust him is what you're asking him. And if we're going to talk about personnel...
I apologize. That wasn't a good way of saying it. But you know what I meant anyway, I hope. I mean, whose responsibility?
Why? This is my thing.
This
is a negative situation. Some people's personalities avoid negative situations by doing nothing. Yep. Okay? And if we do nothing, we have a major problem come mid-year. I want to see where, down to the dollar, where we're cutting to get the 350 cut. Because right now, I don't see anything changing from last week to this week, except there's been some names that you gave us. You've made some suggestions. I want to see from Frank what he's going to do.
When are you going to lead the commission to ask for that?
Well, I'm waiting to hear feedback. When do you guys want that? I just don't want to wait 3 months. I can tell you that.
I don't think we can. I think we got a budget here. We have to decide, or he has to decide. Somebody's got to decide how that budget's going to go.
Would you like to see him have that?
It should have happened right now. It should have happened before. It should have happened before we approved the budget.
Okay.
But it needs to happen now. I mean,
so next are we
going to live? I mean, bottom line, are we going to live by the budget that we set or not?
Absolutely.
Okay. We've got that. Is there an emergency?
Well, you are supposed to be smart at 11:30.
No, I've called and canceled it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I called at 10 o'clock.
When would you like him to come back with the final? Because this is close, but it's still not $350,000.
But I don't understand why you say that, Jim, because when you talk about that, I assume that you're saying that he's going to keep all his people, and I don't hear him saying that. I don't know what he's going to do.
But what I said was, I want to know where he's going to cut. Because right now, we don't know where he's going to cut. Is that correct?
Exactly. That's what I've been saying all morning.
I understand.
He's brought us, as Danny said, 14 good suggestions. What is he going to do? Is he going to
come back with something that equals, in red, $350,000? That's what I want to see. I don't care if it's one sheet, two sheets, a list. I want this number to be $350,000. That way I know he's addressed it.
All right. Why is that important? I mean, why do you want that $350,000 number?
Because we told him to cut $350,000 out of the budget, and we don't know where he's going to cut it.
No. Correct me if I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. But we approved a budget of this amount of dollars. In that budget, in the salaries, we cut it $350,000.
Okay.
We're not asking him to cut another $350,000 out of the budget. We are saying, here is the budget. In this budget is $350,000 less in salaries than you asked for. And we cut all these other things.
Okay.
So what? You're not asking him to cut $350,000 more out of the budget, are you?
Right now, our salaries exceed the $350,000 budget.
Right.
I want to know where he's going to cut it. Because we gave him an option to take these other reductions too.
Point of order, is there an issue on the floor? I mean, is there a motion? I can see that the two of you guys disagree, but I don't know where either of you are going.
We're not hearing each other because I'm saying we've got a budget to live by.
Okay. And at what point do we raise the flag and say he's not within budget?
Sir, that happened January 1st. He is out of budget. He has people on the salary over the budget $350,000.
That's the reason I think it has to be done today.
And you're saying, what do you want him to do? Do you want him to take that out? Do you want him to cut salaries $350,000? Or do you want him to take it out of someplace else? Or do you want a mixture? What do you want him to do?
I want him to make a suggestion.
He's got 14 of them, all good ones.
That doesn't add up to $350,000.
That would indicate to me, Jim, that he is suggesting that he's going to cut other things $246,000, and he's going to give us names in executive session of, that would be 50 and 4, of $54,000. He's going to, I would assume from this document that he is suggesting that he's going to cut $54,000 out of salaries.
103. We gave him 350, not 300.
I'm sorry.
103. 104, sorry.
104, correct. Better put my glasses back on. Get my head back. So we're, from what this document says to me is, other than its suggestions, is I'm suggesting that I'm recommending, and what word you want to use, that we cut other things in the budget, $246,000, and we're going to have to cut salaries, $104,000. That's what he's got before us.
Is that
what we want?
Gentlemen, when this task was put before me last week, I thought that my goal was to come up with a list of recommendations, including salary, out of the salary budget line item, that would give us the ability to talk about alternatives. And I, as I stated earlier in my prepared statement and in executive session, I feel that it's prudent to do a combination of both of these things.
So, forgive me if I'm being too strong or specific. Are you saying doing what I said? Are you suggesting that we take 246 out of materials, these things you've listed, and cut salaries by 104?
That's an alternative. That's an option. I was hoping that we would discuss all of these as a group. I don't see myself as a policymaker here. If I were a policymaker when I first arrived here, I would have said, don't take another road in. Don't spend $450,000 on giving it to other cities around here. I'm trying to work with you as a commission based on the information as I understood it last week of what my tasks were to do. None of them are pretty, including what we talked about in the executive session. So I think it's a combination of all. And I guess I wasn't given a clear enough direction or sense of understanding of the salary line item. It has to come out of salaries. It doesn't have to unless you have alternatives. Well, based on the cuts that were made previous to that, there's not a lot of alternatives. So obviously salary has to be a part of the equation.
So, these are suggestions.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can we have something more firm from you? Besides suggestions, it's your department.
Right.
Can you come back with, I guess what I'm hearing is, these are options, but this is not what he's saying he's going to do. Is that correct?
I hope not, after we had the opportunity to talk about them. I mentioned to you about the rock reduction, which we're going to have. I mean, we can either, that's kind of like putting the paint off till tomorrow, because we've got the rock crushed and we've got $600,000 of it out there, and to take $100,000 of it off here, that's just kind of like waiting until tomorrow to feel the pain. So I hope that we have different recommendations than this, but we can go through that whenever we get to.
To a certain extent, you said feel pain. I feel his pain. He's trying to figure out what long-term policy you guys want. What is it you're trying to accomplish? He has several different ways of going there, and he wanted a work session with you or something more specific, and he'll come back with a recommendation for you.
Can I explain that, Bob? That's been talked about over and over here. A balanced budget We've already agreed that we're going to go above and deficit spend the 5%. We don't want to do no more than that. I think that is as clear as we can possibly state it. And that's where we're at. I mean, I don't know where the confusion is at that, because that's exactly where we're at. We're deficit spending. I want to see a balanced budget. I don't want to deficit spend anymore.
And balanced budget for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years. Do you want to defer maintenance? Do you want to cut employees? I guess.
Bob, I hear what you're saying, but this is Frank's department. I mean,
yeah.
You understand the balanced budget.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, I mean, it's nothing new here. Reducing GIS mapping, I don't know if we can even do that, but that's a every other year expenditure. That would not be reducing your budget. It would be reducing this year, but next year you'd have to find it somewhere else. So, my...
Let me humor you here. That's the way we've lived, yes. Every other year or third year or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't increase, it'd be a nice thing to have. It'd be a wonderful thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to. We don't have to fly over. We don't have to fly over every other year. My point is, if things continue downwards and don't start back upwards, we may have to do it every third year, every fourth year, or something like that. We've only got the dollars. I mean, we're all agreeing on that.
Sure.
But we're so used to doing things a certain way, well, we're going to do it every other year. But that may not be the case. We're certainly not doing things this year.
I'd written it down. We'll have a flyover discussion, I guess, with all the entities who we're going to contribute toward it and see if this is the year to do it or not.
You've created a dependency. I'd rather the assessor not be brought into this. You've got a planning and zoning commission that goes out and instructs that flyover saves you so much money on hiring a surveyor whenever they can strictly look at the new flyover and say, yes, this house is on this lot.
Right.
You've created the dependency on flyover being updated and current through your planning and zoning. Your road and bridge departments have to see where the roads, if they split the lines or if they're accurate before you go call a surveyor.
Well, I understand.
There's many things dependent on a new flyover, and the assessor's office, actually, we just maintain the thing for you.
Right. I understand.
I need to repeat myself. I don't, because it may sound like that I'm down on Frank for not coming here with a specific. I want to say again, from what he has experienced, I understand why he didn't come with a specific. Because we, the county commission, and I'm not throwing rocks or anything at ourselves, but we jumped in the middle of this budget process. I'm not down on Frank for not having a specific. I want to say that again. We need a specific.
We do need a specific.
We have to have a specific. I think everybody's agreed that we have to live by the budget that's been approved, the 2010 budget, road and bridge budget. We're not going to raise it. We're not going to allow it going over unless some catastrophe happens that is just out of this world, so to speak. That ain't going to happen, I don't think.
Yeah.
We're in agreement on that. So we've got to agree how the money in that budget is going to be spent or turn it over to Frank for him to bring us a recommendation. And that's what's happened to this point. He brought us a 2010 budget, he and Rick worked on, brought it to us, it was too much, and we cut it down.
Mm-hmm.
We need him to have us another number, in my opinion. And I think he, in executive session, should tell us if he's going to cut jobs, these are the jobs I think I should cut. And these are the cuts I'm going to do to the rest of it so that I don't have to do $350,000 in salary cuts. Or he can say, I think we can do with all of it. I think we can cut $350,000 with the salary and cut it all right there, and he doesn't have to take these suggestions at all.
Right.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Yeah, I do.
I'm all right. Thank you. Very kind to us. Thanks for watching my schedule, too.
Thank you. Gentlemen, I am prepared to go in that direction today.
That's what I wanted to hear.
So, well, what you want to hear?
Well, I just want to know how we're going to get there.
You may not be done with this issue. If you go into executive, you can still come out and discuss some more. But, I mean, well, where are you going next?
I don't think we need to go to executive until Frank comes with his recommendation.
Let me ask you this, Danny. Chip and seal, rock and chips. Do you think that's a legitimate cut?
I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like that cut, and I totally explained why.
Sure you did. I mean, I understand. I think the reduction in cold mix, hot mix because of the change, I think that's legit.
Yeah, let me explain that to you. Is we have to have a maintenance program. It's just that's been stated over and over again, and so we have to have a maintenance program, and that essential part of that is maintenance program, right?
That's correct.
All right. Now, when you were talking about cold and hot mix, we have differing opinions on that, Jim. From some of the boys thought at one time that we were making it cheaper at the barns than we were by trying to get it other places. There's been all kinds of discussion about that, so I don't know about that one. You know, we even discussed building last year, building a concrete pad out there and doing our own and having a savings. There was a savings, but having a concrete pad and doing the coal mixture at the barns.
Okay. You started this. You said, are we okay with this? Shall we go through this? I mean, Danny said, no, I'm not okay with it. Do we want to put a number on that? He's brought us these numbers. Shall we say...
May I ask a question? One of the three things that were discussed in executive involving problems, that could take care of it all by itself. Or, I mean, you're not going to know what that number is. It might take care of the whole number, or it might only take care of 20,000 of the number. So you'll know more after that.
What you're saying is instead of starting on these items, start on
But I think there's two things that are there. I think we're good there.
Okay.
Which is cold mix, hot mix. I think with Branson going to produce it locally, we're going to say that in just the local versus not local.
Yes.
I mean, Frank, I mentioned you said.
That's a promise. That's an anticipated
promise
from the local vendors.
So that's $100,000.
So okay. Is that right? Is that what we want Frank to do to cut it?
Yeah. And
go along with that cut.
And I think the 20,000 reduction in rentals, I think that's legit that we can operate within that.
Any opposition?
None on the rentals. I disagree with the coal mix, not Mitch, but that's Frank's baby.
That's the only two I felt comfortable with at this point.
Wait a minute. You're not in agreement on coal mix?
Okay. No, it's a maintenance issue.
Okay, well then let's.
But that's Frank's deal there. He's the guy that's going to let rest upon his shoulders.
I'd like to go back to mentioning this morning's executive session, without knowing that number. You don't know what the other numbers have to be, right?
I wanted to make sure we didn't cut deeper than we needed to because we hadn't talked about this yet.
Well, if you just do it on the cause situation, if there's only one employee that needs to go for cause, then you know that you're either going to have to riff or cut materials. But if you have three for cause, that changes your number.
All right. I'm good with that. Let me ask you this, gentlemen. Are we good? How does our schedule look today for you guys?
We would have to move side here pretty soon because Road and Bridge, sewer starts at 12:30, I believe. But I don't have anything myself.
Okay. Let us, can I take a 2-minute recess and we'll come back?
Yeah, hey, let's work right up till the time that
sewer I'm fine with that too.
Comes in.
Can we just do a recess? We'll come back, go into executive, and go from there.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
How long are you going to stay with us, Mindy? You're pretty enduring out there.